I just remember Julie being like, come home, you know, sit on Benny. Like, I have a really cool horse that, you know, I want you to see what I want you to have. You know, like, I wasn't expecting to purchase him or anything. But man, the instant I started trotting, I was like, yeah, this is the horse that I want.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans. Everyone knows how much we love mane and tail. And recently, our little Stanley got a rash under his neck.
Yeah, so right under his collar, he got a rash. He started scratching. It got really, really red. I got worried. Well, we got worried, and we took him to the vet. So as everyone knows, we've talked about before on the show that our Sparky has bad coat and bad skin, and he's had allergies his whole life, and we've always struggled with that. And now here Stanley started with us. So we were very worried. Took him to the vet, and the vet said, you know what the vet said, Karen?
She said, use mane and tail Protect.
Protect line. So here's the deal. You can use Protect every day on that hot spot, scratches.
Rain rot. Ringworm.
Ringworm. So there's directions on the bottle. Get the bottle, but you can use it every day. But the key is you got to let it sit on their coat for about 10 or 15 minutes. Let it really soak in, because that contact is what's going to fix this. And let it dry really well. Don't let the water fester on there. So what we have to do is we have to let Stanley's collar off and let it air out really good. We don't want any moisture, which we think is possibly him running around and creeks and swimming and all types of stuff. You know how the barn dogs are. You have a barn dog at all. So Karen, tell us a little bit more about the Protect line shampoo.
So it's a veterinary strength medicated shampoo that provides a complete cleaning and protection treatment of topical skin problems.
So it's antifungal, antibacterial, does all the above. Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff.
And it is pH balanced and safe for daily use.
Yeah. So, and that's what I didn't realize, is that we can use it every day to get this stuff cleared up. And we're using it every day. And our dogs are... it's amazing. It's night and day how fast it cleared up. So I would use it, but I would use it like once every week, and it wasn't enough contact. Right. So get that. And then they also have, for in between baths, you just say you don't have time to give them a bath, topical spray. So they have a Protect line spray. It's an anti-wound spray. Same thing. You know, if your horse, your dog, your cat, who knows? But we know these barn dogs, they're out there running around, getting into water, water jumps on cross country and stuff like that. So really, really fantastic stuff. So Karen, people, how do people learn more?
Just go to maneandtailequine.com.
And get it at your local tech shop, right, Karen?
Yes.
Triple Crown Feed.
Oh,
Karen.
Yeah.
Triple Crown, big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there, premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
Triplecrownfeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. Triplecrownfeed.com. They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people that support the show.
And we'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Patricia Scott Insurance. Now, Trish is very passionate about helping those who share her love of horses. With over 30 years of experience in writing equine insurance, and she's also an FEI licensed to eventing steward, she understands the unique risks and liabilities faced by horse farm and ranch owners. And she's able to tailor your policy to meet your specific needs. Don't risk your passion. Get insured today. Now, Trish is always only a phone call away, so you can call her at 484-319-8923. The holidays are right around the corner, and Fairfax and Favor has some amazing deals for you and a lot of great products, especially the Francis jacket. Now, at the Maryland 5-star, I kept eyeing this jacket. It was navy suede, and they also have it in tan suede, but the navy suede kept just calling my name, and finally I decided to try it on, and I just couldn't take it off. And it was, it's just so warm. It's so soft. And I, every time I wear it, I get so many compliments. People ask me where I got this jacket. So to get yours, you need to go to fairfaxandfavor.com.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen. And we're your hosts of the Major League Eventing Podcast. And today we have another guest that I've known for quite a while. Known her since the old Windora days. So welcome to the show, eventer Olivia Coolidge. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hi. How are you guys?
Doing good. Doing good.
So yeah, thank you guys for having me. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a while. We saw you in Kentucky.
Yes.
The five star. And you
ran into each other out of nowhere. It was awesome.
Yeah, and we did a little interview with you.
Yes, yes.
and you were grooming for Doug and Jess Payne, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They kind of, my family came up as well. It was actually my first five star. So they were nice enough to let me kind of go out and hang out with my family and actually watch the show. And then kind of help whenever I wanted to. So it was very nice.
Yeah. Oh,
that's really cool.
That's
really
nice.
Cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. Well, Olivia, so we always love to know where you're coming to us from, so we could see you. It looks really nice. So where are you right now?
Yeah, I'm actually in Southern Pines, North Carolina. I rent a little place called Nine Oaks Farm. I have a room, and then Benny, my horse, is here. But yeah, the owners of the place, Scott and Susan Williams, are, they've helped me so much just starting my career and really just getting me on my feet. So they're a huge support of mine, but yeah, Scott, actually, he's a general contractor. So this used to be a three car garage, and he turned one galley into, my kitchen, and then bedroom, bathroom. And then there's another little bedroom across, in the third car. So it's a really cool little place. But yeah, it was fun to, I got to kind of watch him build it. So it was fun to see the process of it all.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, you would never know it's a garage.
I know, right? Yeah, no, it's funny. I mean, the door used to be there and everything. It's funny to see the progress of it all.
Yeah, I wish I had talent like that to convert something like that.
He is a magician. I mean, I've watched him work for so long, and every now and then he'll, you know, one of his helpers won't be able to come out, and he's like, "Do you want to come out and help me? I'll pay you." And I'm like, "Sure." And it's just so fun to, I've learned how to build things that I never thought I'd be able to just from him. So it's really cool.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm kind of envious of your oven. I know we're kind of getting off this.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, the hood. That. Yeah, no,
I wish people could
see
this.
Yeah. Yes, no, for sure. I love it.
Oh, okay. All right, let's get back on track. All right, so Olivia, can you take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah. So I was lucky enough. My grandmother, she loved. And so she had a farm in the middle of nowhere in Kansas, that I was like 2 hours away from my house. So we'd go up there, you know, every other month or whatever. And, I remember the first time I sat on a horse was as soon as I could sit up. My mom was like, "We're getting you on a horse." So I've kind of been riding, or at least around them, for my whole life. And then I got my first pony when I was 7, technically it was supposed to be me and my sister's pony, but she did not like my sister. So she very quickly turned into being my pony. I was the only one that was kind of brave enough to get bucked off and get back on. So yeah, I got her and just kind of messed around with her, went to a couple summer camps, did just, you know, fun kid stuff. And then I begged and begged my parents to take lessons, and we found a barn that was like 5 miles away from my house, and we didn't know anything about it. But I was like, "I want to jump. That's one thing I know is that I want to jump." And, so yeah, I started taking lessons at this little hunter jumper barn, and, I think I was there for, I want to say like 2 or 3 years. That's kind of a rough guess, but, then they, sadly, the property got bought by a condo place that, so they tore the whole thing down and built condos. And I still, to this day, I'm like, we buried some horses out there and I'm like, oh, I hope they never, you know, don't go into that corner type thing. But yeah, no, I did that for a little bit. And then once they kind of started shutting down, I had a really good friend of mine that I went to school with. She trained with a girl named Julie Wolfert, which you guys have recently did an interview with her. And yeah, so I went to her place. I didn't have a horse at the time. So she was kind of, you know, had a lesson pony that I would take lessons on. And, I mean, I remember my first dressage lesson, if you could even call it that. And, Julie just goes, oh, you know, 20 meter circle. And I was like, what? Like, I had no clue what a 20 meter circle was. So, you know, I mean, Julie taught me literally everything I know. I was with her I started with her in 2012. And then I think I was with her for around 10-ish years. Cause I lived like 20 minutes away from the barn. So she probably got so sick of me, but I was always out there. and then throughout high school, you know, I kind of really wanted to get a little bit more into riding but just didn't really have time with the way that public schools run and everything. So I talked my parents into letting me do online school, which was so helpful and beneficial. So I ended up getting a part-time job at it was actually an Arabian barn. So I got to work with Arabians, which was kind of fun. I started working there part-time. I'd, you know, wake up in the morning, go work, muck stalls, do whatever, go ride Benny, and then go home and do homework. And that was my life for a while. And I loved it. I was like, yeah, I think this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Out of high school, I was like, I don't want to do college. I was always joke that I'm like, you don't need a degree to ride horses. So I, you know, bit the bullet and I went straight to Boyd Martin's, and it was probably the best decision I ever made. I learned so much there. It was, just got thrown into the deep end, which was nice and very beneficial for me. Backtrack a little bit. Sorry, I got a little distracted. But when I was on online school, Julie kind of came up to me, and I didn't really have a horse or anything at the time. And she asked if I wanted to, they winter in Florida because Kansas gets horribly cold. And so she asked if I wanted to kind of be like a, I guess you could call it like a working student type thing. Where I basically just helped her do whatever and tack up and really whatever she needed help with. We came home and she was like, you need a horse. Like, we need to find you something long-term that can really, you know, show you the ropes and take you up the levels in a safe manner. I talked my parents into it, and I ended up flying Julie out to the East Coast. We went, I think, Pennsylvania, Virginia, bunch of different places, and tried like 8 or 9 horses and, didn't really find the right one. And I just remember Julie being like, come home, you know, sit on Benny. Like, I have a really cool horse that, you know, I want you to see what I want you to have, you know, like, I wasn't expecting to purchase him or anything, but man, the instant I started trotting, I was like, yeah, this is the horse that I want. I remember looking over at my mom and being like, sorry. luckily, you know, I'd known him for so long and I knew his previous owner. So she was kind enough to work a deal with us, and, you know, we were able to work some stuff out, and that's kind of how I got Benny. I mean, it was not expected, but I am forever grateful for everything that happened to get me to that point. he's really set my career.
Yeah. And but how old was he when you got him?
He was, I want to say he was 11 when I got him. He had already, Julie had taken him intermediate a couple times and done really well with him. And she was leasing him when she was taking him intermediate, and he was kind of for sale, but she was keeping him going. And she ended up giving up her lease so that I could purchase him. And yeah, so I think he was probably 11. I want to say 11, because I got him in 2017. Now he's 17.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Wow. And he's a thoroughbred, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He's off the track. He was tattooed and breezed, but never properly, like he never had any starts.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I got him and, you know, I did my first novice training and prelim on him, and he taught me so much. He's a little pill sometimes, but he, you know, those are the ones that teach you the most. So it's nice to, I feel like we're finally kind of clicking and getting, we finally know each other, right. Which is a good feeling. But yeah, I did my first prelim on him in 2019, and we ended up actually winning, which I was not expecting. We were the only ones to go double clear. I mean, back in that time, I was just like pedal to the metal. I don't know. I wish I had some of that to this day, but but yeah, we ended up winning, which I was shocked by. I mean, it was so amazing. He was so good in all three phases and just really took care of me. And then, yeah, once I moved up to prelim, I was like, okay, I think this is kind of getting a little bit more serious. And, you know, I was talking to my parents and Julie and, you know, just trying to figure out what my next steps would be and where I should go from where I was at. And I just kept going back to being a working student. Like, I think I want to go to a big name and just really immerse myself in that atmosphere and just really see if I can, it's something that's feasible for me to do. Or if I was even wanted to go that far. I didn't really know at the time. So right out of high school, I went and I was a working student for Boyd Martin all of 2020. Right through COVID, the good old days.
Yeah.
but I learned so much, and it was almost nice it being during COVID, because, you know, Boyd was home a lot more than he wasn't at as many shows as he normally was. So he was able to, you know, give me lessons and really help me and, just set me in the right direction. And then I was with him all of 2020. And then I went home just for a little bit. Benny had gotten, a very small injury that I just wanted to give him some time off and make sure he healed properly. And then I started working for, Andrew McConnon for, 2021 through it was spring of 2022. So like almost a year and a half. And, you know, I started off as a working student and kind of started riding a bit more. And, you know, towards the end, I was, you know, I'd call it a glorified working student, not necessarily only doing the crap work, but also riding some, and learned even more there. Andrew was nice enough to let me, you know, teach grid clinics and, really kind of start my own business while working for him, which helped me a bunch. I, you know, got me a little bit more in the community and, just meeting people and all of that. So, kind of dipped my toes in the training people world. I, you know, it just got to the point where I couldn't necessarily afford to be a working student anymore. I kind of needed to grow up a little bit and pay my own bills. So I ended up going off on my own and really just kind of took things slow. I was like, I'm just gonna, you know, get a job, just kind of get back up on my feet a little bit. And I ended up getting a job at, it's a little food truck parking lot that has a bar on site, called Red's Corner. So I bartend there, about 3 to 4 times a week. And then, yeah, so, and the girl who owns the place is Rachel Juergens, who has gone to Rolex a couple times. So she's super understanding when I'm like, hey, I need to go to a horse show. She's like, oh, good luck, you know, instead of, she's like, I'll cover for you. So it's just super nice being in the community and just supported by people. But yeah. And then, I, you know, was taking lessons from, I met up with Daryl Kinney. She lives like right down the road. And, I always loved that Rosie horse of hers. It reminded me so much of Benny. So I messaged her and was like, are you available for lessons? You know, kind of thing. So, I went to a bunch of shows with her. I ended up doing my first 2 long, with her. And she helped me really just soar through any confidence problems that I had. And then I, every now and then, I actually live a couple houses down from Bobby Costello.
Oh, wow.
So I will hack over and have lessons with him sometimes. And it was funny. I randomly got a text from him one day and he was like, hey, you know, Doug Payne is looking for, someone to ride, to add to their team as kind of a rider position. Like, would you be interested? And I was like, yeah, like, I mean, I'll talk to him, but I mean, who would say no to that?
Right.
So I ended up, you know, meeting with them and I just fell in love with that place, and they're, you know, Doug and Jess are amazing and so supportive. And, yeah, so currently I am a bartender / Doug's assistant rider / have my own business that I recently started. So it's kind of chaotic, but I kind of love it.
Yeah. Just a little business.
Just a little. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. I'm not one to sit still. So I love it. But yeah, I mean, it's been so nice. I basically with Doug, it's kind of like a part-time thing. So I live in Southern Pines, but he's up in Rougemont. So it's like an hour and a half away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, but he obviously has the show jumpers and the eventers. So when he's at like a show jump show, I'll go up there and I ride the eventers and then keep them going. So that then when they go, I then ride the show jumpers, if that makes sense. I basically go up and ride whoever they don't take to the shows. And just keep them going so that they're not, you know, having, cause I mean, some of the shows are, I mean, they're like 2 weeks long and stuff. So, you know, you can't give the horses that long off. So I've been great. It's just been amazing to be able to go up there, and they've been so supportive of everything.
Now, like, but this time of the year when it's. You know, we're heading into winter. Does it slow down, or are they still going out? I mean, I know jumpers are kind of. Yeah,
Doug's always at try-on. I know, yes. Like.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, for sure. So December is usually the 1 month that they don't go to any shows. So I haven't been up there in probably a month, just because most of the horses have off right now and they're just kind of really, they're starting to ramp back up. So I'll go up there. Next weekend I'll go back up because they're going out to Wellington. So
nice.
Should be fun. I'm excited to get back to it.
Now, do you get to go south at all?
Not really. I kind of like to stay here.
Okay.
There's only really a couple weeks that are really cold here. And even then I'm just kind of like bundle up and give them a couple weeks off and start back up again. But yeah, we're lucky enough here that, you know, the footing is amazing and, the foundation is just literally in my backyard. So it's so nice to be able to literally hack out and you have 4,000 plus acres of just protected horse land. It's amazing. And, you know, I think my horse has really benefited from the foundation just with the hills. And I mean, just being able to go out there and go for a 2-hour hack, you know, and just, you know, really get their heart rates up without overstressing their tendons. Yeah. And I think especially with Benny not being a spry little chicken anymore, it really benefits him to just be able to go out and walk hills and trot around and just kind of have fun.
Yeah. And you're in a good spot because, I mean, Southern Pines, yeah. You got Bobby, you got Will Faudry.
Yes. Yeah.
Andrew.
He's about 30 minutes away. I school there all the time. It's super handy. And then I think Sydney Elliott, I think, moved out here recently. Okay. I think she's might be with Will. I don't know. That was just a guess. Not sure. But yeah, I love it out here. I have really, it's been nice. I've found a kind of a home away from home. So it's nice to be, you know, included in the community and just a part of something that outside of the horse world.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
It's kind of refreshing every now and then. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So, I mean, I guess that kind of brings us a bit to, and you alluded to it earlier, you know, what you have going on with your current business. So, you know, what do you have going on? You know, what's your business called? You know, what do you have going
on? Yeah. So, I'm in the very, very beginning stages. Just trying to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. I started my business, Bold Eventing is what it's called. And, I started it, I want to say last summer, you know, got the titles and everything and, made everything official. and then I've slowly been, you know, I ride a couple clients' horses and, stuff like that. So, you know, just kind of growing that a little bit. And then, the end goal is, you know, right when I left Andrews, a good friend of mine from back home, Mallory Stiver, she broke her collarbone and she was kind enough to ship all four of her horses out to me. So I was, you know, kept them going for her. And she had this one little thoroughbred that she was like, yeah, you know, he doesn't really know much, but have fun with him. And, you know, if you want to sell him, like, just meaning like if the opportunity arises to sell him, like, you know, let me know and we can totally do that, but just kind of have at it, you know, and just kind of basically gave him to me. And, I, you know, with him, I just realized that I really found a love for training the younger ones and just really showing them the ropes and kind of figuring out what each horse likes to do. And, you know, not all of them want to event, but it's fun to be like, oh, I think this one will be really good in the jumper ring, or, you know, I think this one would thrive in the hunters, you know, just kind of finding each horse's niche is something that I really like. So the end goal is to, you know, train and sell and, obviously compete, but, mostly train and sell and, you know, just kind of bring some more horses along.
And do you do any lessons at all?
Not at the moment. I have, I have a little bit. I'm not very good at vocalizing what needs to be done. so I'm more of a, you know, do it. So I love to, you know, train them. I like to deal with the horses. I think, you know, eventually I'll, dip my toes into it a little bit more, but as of right now, I'm just kind of trying to focus on really getting my riding to where it needs to be. And, you know, I still have so much to learn and, I'm just constantly trying to get better.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that everyone, you know, you still see the big names out there still getting lessons. So
absolutely.
You'll be learning all the way.
Absolutely.
Forever. So
never stop. Exactly.
All right. Well, Olivia, we are going to play Quick Fire Questions. Quick Fire Questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Stay warm this winter and look good doing it by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So, you know, the show, it's five questions. You don't have to be quick, but, you know, we do give grading at the end. Oh, yeah. So, all right. Favorite rider growing up?
Ooh, my favorite rider growing up was definitely Julie. You know, it was very inspiring to watch her work, and I learned everything, all the basics from her. So it just really started, my riding really started with her. But I'd say nowadays I really look up to Laura Collette. I think she's amazing. And I love that she does steeplechase too. That's, I could never, but it's cool.
Yeah, that's a crazy people sport.
Oh yeah. No, I'm like, I could never, but it's fun to watch.
Well, hold on, back up. Talking about crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
People sport. Going back to Julie, would you try the Mongolian Derby?
Yes. Oh, I've heard stories from that. And I'm like, you're crazy. Like, I remember when she first came in the barn and was like, I kind of thinking of doing it. And I was like, oh, ha, ha, like, yeah, you're like, you're adventurous. Like, sure. And then she was like, I have an interview. And I was like, oh, I didn't think you were actually going to do it. So it was, I followed her and it was so fun to watch, but I could never.
Yeah. Yeah. When we interviewed her, she told us those stories and oh my goodness.
It's crazy.
It's
insane. The stuff that she went through.
I mean, it sounds kind of fun, but I wouldn't do it.
One of those things that's fun once you're done.
For like 10. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's fun for like 10 minutes and then it's just like, awesome. Like, wait, we have 30 more days of this?
Okay. Yeah, right. All right. Favorite event to compete at?
Ooh. I'd have to say Carolina International. It's just home base. So handy. And I, you know, all the volunteers and everybody that works there are so supportive and just there to help you. I think it brings a really cool, just a really cool vibe to the whole place. You know that everyone around there is just wanting everything to go smoothly and for nothing bad to happen. And they're the first to say good luck when you go out of the start box. That's for sure. They're very supportive there.
Yeah. Very, very nice venue. Very.
Yes. Yes.
I know Robbie's never been there, but we actually have a funny story. The last time we were there, so my other son, Joe, was competing and he was having a really good cross country round. I mean, it was fantastic. Uh-huh. And at the time, his helmet cover resembled Boyd's, but it was a different color.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, he's coming around. He's just about done. And he had one jump left. And all we hear is poof. He came off at the last fence. That was his air vest.
Oh my gosh. Was this when he was riding men?
Yeah. So
I think he showed me that video when we worked together.
Yeah.
And I want to say, I didn't know it was at Carolina though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I just remember talking to him and I'm like, oh, that's such bad luck. Yes,
yeah. Well, what was funny was later, I'm now sitting out cross country. I'm on one of the bleachers and there's these two ladies behind me and they're like, did you hear Boyd Martin fell off at the last fence? They thought it was Boyd because of his helmet cover. Boyd wasn't even there competing.
That's so funny.
I was like, all right, we'll just let that go.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that was Boyd.
Yeah, that was Boyd, not Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just
That's
funny.
That's so funny.
And at the time, like, Boyd had texted me, like, because he was wondering, like, what had happened. And I said, well, these two ladies behind me think it was you that fell off. And he thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, well, yeah, funny. But I would love to get back there. It was a very nice venue.
And I always feel like that Carolina, like, I always feel like that's kind of like the start of eventing season. Like, Carolina International is like right when, like, the spring's coming around, you know, things are warming back up.
I think it's the first
it's in March, right?
Yeah, it's like middle of March usually. So it is one of the first one, if not the first. But yeah, no, it's super fun and it's nice because sometimes it's chilly or like it's chilly in the morning, but then it warms up during the day, so you're not miserable all day.
Yeah,
It's a good time of year.
Right. But, yeah. And I like their competitor area. Like,
yes. Yeah. They're very welcoming to spectators and competitors, and they always go above and beyond with everything that they host there.
Yeah. So awesome. Okay. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, I'm really good at the whole quick fire thing.
Yeah, I know. And I'm the one who's doing it too. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the Starbucks?
I wouldn't say it's a ritual, but I will say, like, I always get super nervous. So I end up, I'll like watch back old cross country videos, or I love to wear a GoPro on cross country. So sometimes I'll, you know, watch one of our best rounds and be like, okay, we're just going to emulate that, kind of talk myself up a bit. That, and I do have a pair of Spider-Man socks that I refuse to not wear, or like that I have to wear on cross country. But yeah, I'd say probably watching old videos is my go-to, just to kind of get in the zone.
Yeah.
It's always socks.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people have socks.
I don't know why. Yeah. Cause you can't, I don't know. I guess maybe cause it's special. Like, you can't see them, only, you know, you're wearing them. Right. So right.
Now, do you wash them at least?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do. Right. Okay. There are holes in them, but I do wash them. They're okay. Clean.
Oh, awesome. All right. Do you have any hobbies outside of horses?
Does working count? No, I'm kidding. I will say I have a custom paint by number that of my dog that I've been doing recently, and I really like it. It's a nice way to kind of turn my brain off a little bit and just relax. But I'm not good at painting. That doesn't, I can only do it if I'm just coloring in squares, but, I'd probably say that I love to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's a good one. Now I'm throwing this in. This doesn't count as quick fire. So you also work at the bar, like you said. What's your favorite drink to make?
Oh, okay. So that is, it's only beer and wine. So I kind of call myself a beer tender, because I basically just pour beer into glasses. But I will say we do make like mimosas and stuff. I think those are fun. And then we have we call it Frosecco, where it's a frozen Prosecco drink. And then we like change the flavor every week. So those are really fun. Because sometimes they let me pick the flavors. So you get a little creative with that. But yeah, I'd probably say either mimosas or Proseccos are my top two.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So last question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Ooh. Oh, there's so many. Yeah. I'd have to say probably Corvette, Emily Hamill's Corvette. I love that horse. He just kind of reminds me of Benny, in a way. I'd say that or My Bomb is one of my favorites. I think I've always wanted a black horse, and the second I saw him, I was like, pick up your jaw off the floor. He's so pretty. probably those two.
Yeah.
Very different rides.
Yes.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, they're both good. I mean, at least with Corvette, you need to maybe glue yourself to the saddle.
I would 100% get jumped out of the tack, but I feel like it'd be fun.
Awesome. Well,
A++.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, look at me.
Good job.
Awesome. So, you know, you're still young. You're still kind of getting everything going. You know, what advice would you give to another young rider looking to make it in this sport?
I would have to say, if you truly think you want to do it, go somewhere kind of hard, you know? I mean, I feel like I was really, hindsight, I was very grateful that I went to, you know, Boyd's first, because it was such a a culture shock. You know, it was just like, but I feel like that's almost the best way to do it, in the sense of like, you're going to know if you want to do this for the rest of your life or not, if you go and, you know, give it your all and just really immerse yourself in your surroundings. You know, and just cause you're, you know, another thing is just cause you're there doesn't mean you're learning anything. So really, really apply yourself, you know, and go out on your days off and watch lessons and, you know, do stuff like that. I mean, you can learn so much from just watching people, and just listening to how other people think and how they make their plans and everything. I mean, you can learn a lot just from listening. So I would definitely say, you know, if you're able to go somewhere and work underneath somebody that, you can really just fully immerse yourself in it completely, and give your all. It's not easy, but it's makes it just that much more rewarding when you get there.
Yeah. And it's funny that you said that, like, go somewhere that is kind of hard.
Yeah. And- yeah. I mean, it was one of those where, you know, I went to, it's kind of like, well, if you go to the hardest place, everything else is just going to be easier, you know? So it's just like, you know, get the grunt work out of the way and just move on from there. You know, it's, you can learn something from every single barn that you go into. I mean, even if you just walk in and say, oh, I love the way they hung that bridle hook over there, you know, or I mean, just tiny things, little details, they add up. Mm-hmm. And it makes the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. And like, you know, being at Boyd's, like it's a great experience, but,
oh, absolutely.
You know, but when you say it's hard, you know, it's long hours and yes. It's constantly yeah. going and you're out in the weather all day long.
For sure.
There's yeah, no real barn.
For sure. That was definitely the biggest thing, you know, I mean, and you know, Pennsylvania is not the nicest of weather year round, at least. So, you know, that was very hard. But it just makes you stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's super cheesy, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Cause I feel like it's only cheesy cause it's true.
Right. It is.
But,
it is.
but yeah, no, it's yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just I was really grateful that I went somewhere, you know, I went to not the top, but, you know, to one of the most intense programs. And it was just nice when leaving there, I was like, wow, I felt like I could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, the world was at my fingertips, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Just, it makes you feel powerful to just turn around and be like, wow, I did that.
Yeah.
You know, like if worse comes to worse, I know that I can do that. So I really recommend going somewhere big like that.
Yeah. Now, you said you had left because Benny was injured. Would you have stayed longer if he didn't have that injury?
Yeah. So I definitely wasn't planning on, leaving that early. It was one of those, he kind of was on and off and, just couldn't really quite figure out. He just didn't seem to be feeling normal. So I was just like, you know, let's just kind of take a step back. And you know, he wasn't the youngest horse ever. So I remember Boyd told me like three times, you need to retire that horse. You need to retire that horse. And I was like, well, but he's my Benjamin. So it has been cool to go back to shows and he always gives me a little tip of the hat to be like, oh, he's still going. And I'm like, yeah, we're still here. but yeah, it's, I definitely wasn't planning on leaving, but it was one of those, I kind of just wanted to give him the time that he needed and, just kind of save up some money and see what else I could conquer.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely great advice. All right. So what we'll do is we'll start winding things down. So, we always love to give a shout out to any sponsors and supporters you may have. So who do you have behind you?
Yes, I'd like to say a huge shout out to my family, my mom, dad, and sister. I would not be anywhere without them. They have made my crazy dreams come true, and they just keep, you know, it's so nice to be able to, when I feel a little bit down about myself or my riding or whatever it may be, it's amazing to be able to just turn around and give them a call. And I know that they're always going to cheer me up and just make me see the bigger picture, which is so unbelievably helpful to have. And then another, I recently just started working with my first sponsor. So I just partnered up with Forestier, the saddle company, and my saddles are currently being made and I am very excited about it. So a huge shout out to them and, for really just believing in me and kind of jumping on the bandwagon before it takes off, I guess. It's been amazing. I mean, they're such an amazing company and, their products are incredible. And you can tell that every employee there, they truly care about the saddles and making you as happy as you can be and your horse and comfortable. So that's amazing. And I highly recommend getting a saddle fitting or something with them. Cool. But yeah, that's, those are my two main people that have had my back.
Awesome. Now, all right, I'm going to throw this out there. We usually throw this out every once in a while, but do you have a dream sponsor? It could be anything out there. Doesn't have to be horse related. It could be anything. Just put it out in the universe. You never know.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh yeah. Get on the same wavelength. I feel like my first instinct was 5-Hour Energy.
There you go. That's
a good one. Because either that or like bleach or like Tide or something like laundry detergent. Because I spend so much money on laundry detergent that I'm like, you know,
yeah,
I have white clothes that get so dirty.
Right. Actually, so one of our very first interviews was with Erica Nessler.
Uh-huh.
And we asked her that question and she said Tide.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's so funny. Yeah. I've always wondered. I'm like, why do these companies not jump onto this?
Right.
Because I mean, there's so much money in it. I mean,
look how dirty you guys get.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I look like a barn rat 24/7. I'm like, no, my clothes are constantly covered in dirt.
Right.
And horse slobber and grass stains and all that.
Right. Saddle pads and
yeah. Ugh. Oh yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, I definitely like some sort of caffeinated beverage.
Okay.
I could not survive without caffeine.
Okay. All right. Well, you never know. Put that out there.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
Never know.
Awesome. So, and Olivia, how do people follow along with your journey if they wanted to, you know, see what you're up to?
I post mostly on Instagram. And my Instagram is olivia.coolio, C-O-O-L-I-O. And then I also recently have started kind of messing around with TikTok. And that's Bold Eventing. And then my Facebook is also Bold Eventing. Follow along.
Yeah. And also, like, I was snooping on your TikTok and your one video has over 1 million views.
Yes. That was a shock. I still honestly can't believe it. Every time I open it up, I'm like, oh, that did happen. it's so crazy. I wasn't expecting it, but yeah, no, it's been so cool. That was definitely one of my favorite GoPros that I'd ever done. So it was nice to, you know, have other people love it as much as I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's crazy. I still can't believe it.
I know.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny. Jessica Gaiman, we always used to joke when we worked together. She was always like, oh my God, you know, I want to go viral. And I like, one of the first comments that was on there was like, I can't going viral, and it just gave me a total throwback to Windura.
That's so funny.
But, yeah.
Well, and little confession, you brought up Jess. I always, when you guys work together, I was always confused who was who.
Oh, yes. No, it happened. You were not the only one.
Like, Joe would always like, Olivia, and then I'm looking at Jess, and then I'm like, wait, I don't know who is who. No,
for sure. Well, both long brown hair. Yeah, we're like the same too.
Yeah,
you're not the only one.
I do remember he said that you were leaving, and then the next time I was there, I saw Jess, and I was like, wait a minute, Olivia's still here. So I had the wrong one.
Yes. Yeah. No worries. Well, and at the time she was riding Grayson. So we both had white little horses and
that's right. Yep. That's right. Yep.
Chaos. Yeah, exactly. Wreaking havoc. Yeah.
But I could tell you apart now because you're not together. Oh. Well, Olivia, it was great catching up with you.
Yes, you guys too.
And best of luck with anything. And if you ever need anything, just give us a shout.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you guys enough for having me on.
You know, but he couldn't go.
Yeah, absolutely. Escape a little bit. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, I can totally see that.
Yeah. But he's, yeah.
Well, awesome.
He'll be home. He leaves on the 30th to go to Florida. So.
Oh, gotcha. And you know Wellington?
Yeah. Yeah, for him.
Yeah, I know. Must be nice. I know. Oh, so, I love right. it.
All right. We'll let you go.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and never miss an episode of the Major League Eventing Podcast.